Okay, so we're moving into the end of Kabbalah Shabbos, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch states that one who recites Kabbalah Shabbos before sunset accepts Shabbos upon himself when he recites Mizmor Shir. And the Medrash tells us that Adam Arishan composed this capital, and it was late Friday afternoon when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, and as Shabbos arrived, death was decreed upon him. And the Shabbos came to serve as an advocate for Adam and said, Ribbono Shalom, during the 6 days of creation, no man was punished with death. Must such judgment start today? Is this my Kedusha, my sanctity, or my Bracha? And Hashem accepted the plea of Shabbos and Adam was spared. So Adam began to sing Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So Shabbos said to him, you're praising me. Let us both praise Hashem, Tov Lahodos LaHashem. And Rav Moshe Wolfson asks, he says, this capital seems to really have nothing to do with Shabbos. We see from the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid that the Shabbos in this capital is not really our Shabbos, but the Shabbos of the seventh millennium. So therefore, why do we say it on Shabbos? And he explains that at the end of the sixth millennium, the world as we know it will cease to exist. This change will happen, hopefully long after Mashiach has come, because hopefully Hashem makes early Shabbos. So Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos refers to the seventh millennium for 1,000 years, which equals one day in the eyes of Hashem. And during this time, there will be a cessation of physical activity, and only the righteous will exist. It will be a time of utter contentment. And as Shabbos, we know, is a day of Menucha, a word which many mistakenly translate as rest. And someone who views Shabbos as primarily a day to catch up on his sleep and enjoy a well-earned day of rest has no concept of what Shabbos truly is. The correct translation of Menucha, he says, is contentment. And the Torah tells us, Vayichal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi, that Hashem completed on the seventh day. And Rashi brings the Medrash, what was the world lacking? It was lacking Menucha, it was lacking contentment. And bas Shabbos, bas Menucha. So the work was completed and finished. And with the onset of the first Shabbos, creation was completed. Nothing was lacking. It was a perfect world. And Chazal tells us that when Shabbos arrives, a Jew should experience a feeling of utter contentment. He should banish all mundane thoughts from his mind, as if all his weekday activities had been completed and need no further contemplation. He should focus his thoughts on the opportunity that Shabbos presents to renew one's closeness to Hashem and to tap into the day's heightened spirituality. So we recite Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it's a semblance of the world to come. Another reason is that the 7 days of the week correspond to the seven spheros, the heavenly attributes of Hashem, to which He conducts the affairs of this world. On Friday night, we already said Mizmor LaDavid, in which we mention the seven kolos, which also correspond to these seven spheros. And they correspond to the seven notes of the musical scale. And we mentioned in Psuka de Zimra that all of creation is one magnificent symphony singing Shira to Hashem. But Rav Moshe Wolfson tells us there's really another symphony in the world, and that's the symphony of Jewish history. And as much as we can, we need to recognize the guiding hand of Hashem in history, as there is so much that we do not understand, both on personal and communal levels. After the arrival of Mashiach, the veil of history will be lifted, and everything will become clear. We will recognize the true beauty of the symphony of history. This is the theme of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. In the meantime, we live with Emunah that all that Hashem does is for good, and someday we will clearly perceive how this is so. So on Shabbos, again, which is a semblance of the world to come, our elevated neshamos experience a taste of the future, and we recite this capital joyously and with renewed faith. Rabbi Chiel Sparrow points out, Shabbos revolves around song. Many recite Shir HaShirim, which we then follow with L'chul Niranana. We then have many chapters that start with the word Shir or Mizmor or both. We then sing L'chadodi. We conclude Kabbalah Shabbos with this chapter of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. We say Mizmor Shir again during Psuka de Zimra, where we add again many, many chapters from Tehillim on Shabbos morning. And many of the Sudos, much of the Sudos on Shabbos, center around Zmiros. And he asks, why is this so? And what's the difference between a shir and a mizmor? And he answers that music is a delicate combination of lyrics and tunes. Rav Shimshon Pinkus tells us that when we speak of shira, we are talking about the lyrics. The beauty of these songs live in the words that praise Hashem and describe the miraculous events that took place. No tune is needed to bring out the deep emotion of the song. Zemer is the tune. There are songs that have no words. The tune speaks for itself. It has a power and an energy that is palpable. Yet when we add words, we focus on them and their meaning, and then we reach action. So the Zmirus and Shabbos are the majestic blending of the two. We enter Shabbos swept up in the emotion of the day, and we begin with Mizmor, but we need to add the Shir to make these emotions real and concrete. And this is the essence of Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos. Song is a very powerful tool. It engages the tzibur into the davening. It brings parents and their children closer together. It talks to our neshamos, to our potential. So we open up and we say, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, a psalm, a song for the day of Shabbos. This is the song that the Levim sang in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Rashi learns, as we had mentioned, it's talking about the days of Mashiach. The Radak learns it's actually discussing our Shabbos. He says, Tov lahodos la'Hashem ulazam l'shimcha elyon. It's good to thank Hashem and to give praise to your name, O Exalted One. And the Radak learns Shabbos is a better day than all other days to thank Hashem, because a person is free from all his worldly obligations and his neshama can focus on Chachma and Avodas Elokim. Rav Moshe Wolfson tells us that the word Lahodos means both to thank and to admit. And in the future, we will understand how all the happenings of the Galus, as difficult as they were, all led to a perfect conclusion. And at that time, we will thank Hashem for what he did and admit that it was all for the good. We also acknowledge that Hashem is Elyon, exalted. We recognize that it is impossible for us to comprehend the ways of Hashem, who sees the past, present, and future all before him. Lahagid baboker chazdecha v'emunoscha balelos, to relate your kindness in the dawn and your faith in the night. Rashi learns baboker is at the time of redemption, and lelos is during the galus. We had in Muna faith at the times that were very dark, like the darkness of the night. And the Radak says, both at night and day, we have to relate that the chesed that Hashem did with us by giving us this day of Shabbos for menucha, and we have emunah that he will keep his chesed to us all the time. And the reason we thank Hashem in the morning is because all week we get up in the morning and we head out to work. However, on Shabbos, we get up to a day of contentment and oneg for the guf and the neshama. And balelos is plural because we have lel Shabbos and lel motzei Shabbos, since we have not yet gone back to work. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes, dawn refers to the tranquil periods during the galus, when Klal Yisrael flourished in their lands, and Torah scholars were revered even among the Goyim. At such times, it was easy to recognize the chesed of Hashem and offer praise for it. Night refers to the dark periods, when we were scorned and persecuted. Such times require a Jew to reach deeply into his reservoir of faith and believe that all is for the good. Upon a ten-stringed instrument and lyre in meditation upon the harp. The Sfas Emes tells us that the lyre of Mashiach will be ten-stringed, representing a beautiful enhancement of music, which is now limited to the octave of 8 notes. Every period in life calls for its own unique expression of praise. Every day has its own song. The enhanced spirituality of the times of Mashiach will demand a heightened form of song. Rav Moshe Wolfson learns the symphony of history is produced by a variety of instruments of varying sounds, some that are more pleasant, some that are less so. And Rav Nachman of Breslov says that every Jew's life is a niggun. Some parts of the niggun are happy, some parts are mournful. So too every day in history, every year, decade, and century and millennium plays its own song. Think into the song and recognize that it's all part of Hashem's master plan. Ki simachtani Hashem b'falecha b'mas yedecha aranein. For you have gladdened me, Hashem, with your deeds. At the works of your hands I sing glad song. And the Sforno learns your deeds means that you created us, B'tselem Elokim, in the form of Hashem. And the Metzudas David says it means the Nisim that he does for us. And the Radak explains that on Shabbos we become glad with the understanding, the insight in your deeds and work of his hands, which is our world. On Shabbos we have time to look into all that happens and be glad and sing in our heart. He points out it is in singular because each person understands it on his level and is glad in his way. Rav Moshe Wolfson says that I rejoice in the knowledge that whatever transpires, whether major or minor importance, is pa'alecha, your deed. And I sing with the knowledge that all that transpires is ma'ase yadecha, the work of your hands. How wonderful it is to possess an emunah that is strong and pure, to believe with perfect faith that everything that happens is being carefully orchestrated from above. How comforting it is to know that Hashem involves Himself in my personal life on a constant basis, guiding my every step and holding me through all the difficult times. And with this knowledge, I am prepared to face whatever tests life may bring. Magodlu ma'asecha Hashem od amku machshavosecha. How great are your deeds, Hashem, exceedingly profound are your thoughts. The Radak explains, when we look into Hashem's deeds, we see how great they are, and how we don't fully comprehend the thought of Hashem. Rav Moshe Wolfson explains this pasuk, that someone once asked the Chazon Ish to explain why the Holocaust took place. And he responded with a mashal of someone who entered a tailor shop for the first time. And he found the tailor cutting pieces of various shapes from beautiful pieces of silk. And the visitor was aghast, "Why are you ruining such beautiful material?" But what he did not realize is that the tailor would soon fashion the pieces into a beautiful garment. So it is with the workings of history. Hashem's the tailor, and we're the ignorant visitor, who cannot possibly comprehend how all his deeds and thoughts will result in a glorious conclusion. Ishbar lo yedo chsula yavin ezos. A boor cannot know, nor can a fool understand this. The Radak learns that this pasuk can either be read as continuing what we've been saying, or it's starting a new idea. If it's continuing, then the pasuk's saying that a boor and a fool cannot know or understand the deeds of Hashem. And if it's starting a new idea, then what it's saying is that a boor or a fool cannot understand why the Rishayim blossom like glass, as the next pasuk will tell us, but the Chachamim know that it's really just to destroy them until eternity. That Hashem gives the Rishayim their reward in this world, so they will not get any Olam Haba. And Rav Moshe Wolfson learns an Ish, a human being, is in essence a boor when it comes to understanding the ways of Hashem. And a fool refers to people considered intellectuals, men of great wisdom who foolishly reject out of hand anything their minds cannot comprehend. Befrach risham kamo esev ayetzitzu kopaliyavin lishamdam adayad. When the wicked bloom like grass and all the doers of iniquity blossom to destroy them until eternity. And Rav Moshe Wolfson continues that among the many mistakes non-believers make is their lack of understanding that the purpose of the wicked's blossoming is to destroy them until eternity. And the Radak points out that by Rishayim, we compare them to grass. Grass grows very quickly, but also dies quickly. However, we will see that Tzadikim will be compared to a tamar, a date palm, and an erez, a cedar tree. V'yatamorim lolam Hashem, you remain exalted forever Hashem. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, does man truly think he can comprehend the ways of Hashem? Hashem's ways are beyond our comprehension. And the Radak learns that even though the Rishayim are successful, don't say that there is no one watching like those that lack emunah, that don't believe. Because Hashem does watch and sees everything, and you're exalted, and that one day you will come and tell each person their actions. The Metzudas David adds that your hand is on top as you always pay them back, whether it's here in this world or in the next world. Kihine ovecha Hashem, kihine ovecha yovedu yisbordu kopoli oven. For behold your enemies, Hashem, for behold your enemies shall perish, dispersed shall be all doers of iniquity. And Rav Moshe Wolfson continues that those who do recognize that Hashem's ways are beyond our comprehension have faith that the day will come when the Rishayim will be destroyed, like during the Dor HaMabul or during Sodom, and the glory of Klal Yisrael will shine once more. The Evin Ezra explains that the double Lashon is that the Maskil, the wise person, hears what happens to the Rishayim, but he also sees it happen during his lifetime. Vatarim kirim karni balosi b'shemen ranon. As exalted as the re'aims shall be my pride, I will be saturated with ever fresh oil. And Rav Moshe Wolfson says that the re'aim has beautiful tall horns, a symbol of the pride that Klal Yisrael will experience with the arrival of Mashiach. They will be like one who is saturated with ever fresh oil, a state of utter euphoria and contentment. My eyes have seen my vigilant foes when those who would harm me rise up against me. My ears have heard their doom. And Rav Moshe Wolfson says, we'll witness the downfall of our enemies. of those who seek to annihilate us. Tzadik atama yifrach ke'erez balvanon yiske. A righteous man will flourish like a date palm. Like a cedar in the Lebanon, he will grow tall. And the Radak explains that a tzadik is compared to the date palm and cedar because they're taller than other trees. And Rav Moshe Wolfson learns, as we mentioned before, that Rishayim are like grass, which grows quickly, almost as soon as it's planted, but when not watered adequately, it quickly browns and withers away. As opposed to a date tree or a cedar, which takes years to fully develop, but once it has grown, it can remain strong and healthy for many, many years. The wicked appear at times to be blessed with meteoric success, achieving their diabolical goals in a relatively short time. Often they fall as quickly as they rise, as we see from the story of Haman. However, the tzaddik spends a lifetime on self-improvement, climbing the rungs of the spiritual ladder carefully, one at a time. His hard-earned achievements remain with him forever. The Baal HaFlo gives another insight into the comparison of the tzaddik to a date palm and cedar. He says a date palm does not grow as tall because much of its inner strength is utilized to produce fruit. A cedar does not bear fruit, and therefore it's able to grow tall. He says a tzaddik that knows that it's Hashem's desire that he produce fruit, that he inculcate the next generation with Torah. And even though he would much prefer to grow himself, he is willing to sacrifice his own growing tall to produce fruits. And the Chasam Sofer tells us that when a Talmud Chacham gives of his time to teach others L'Shem Shemayim, he can rest assured that his efforts in his Avodas Hashem will be blessed from above, and he will grow tall, achieving levels that he may have thought were unattainable. Shesulim beveis Hashem bechatzus alkenu yafrichu, planted in the house of Hashem, in the courtyards of our God, they will flourish. And Rav Moshe Wolfson asks, what's the secret of the tzaddikim's success? Chazal teach us that when Yaakov and Esav were in their mother's womb, they both sought to run out at different times. Esav tried to get out of Rivka whenever she would pass a place of Avodah Zarah, while Yaakov sought to run out whenever she passed the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. And the question that's asked is, why would Yaakov want to leave in order to enter the Beis Medrash when his Rebbe inside the womb was a Malach? And the answer is that even with a Malach as one's Rebbe, if there's a negative influence, an Esav that's with you, it can have a poisonous effect on him. A tzaddik's spiritual success is predicated on him being firmly planted in the house of Hashem, away from the lures and influences of the decadent society. Ojin nuvim b'seva, the shenir ananim yiyu, they will still be fruitful in old age, vigorous and fresh they will be. And the Sforno learns that just as a cedar and date palm continue to blossom and give fruit even as they age, so too the chacham will grow in wisdom as he ages. As the Gemara says, Talmidei chachamim, as they age, their wisdom grows. And lahagid ki yasher Hashem tzuriv lo'avlasabo, to declare that Hashem is just, my rock, and in whom there is no wrong. And the Radak explains that in the days of Mashiach, they will tell over that Hashem is just. Now it's harder for us to understand why it appears that the Rishayim have it all, while the Tzaddikim suffer. But in the Imos of Mashiach, we will understand that there is no wrong and everything was done faithfully. We then continue and we say, Hashem Moloch, Geus, Lovesh, Lovesh, Hashem Ozis, Asach, Avtikon, Tevyel, Baltimol. That Hashem will have reigned, he will have donned grandeur, Hashem will have donned might and girded himself, even firm the world that it should not falter. And the Mefarshim learn that this is talking in the future in the days of Mashiach. That until this time there have been many who have donned grandeur, but once Mashiach comes, they will realize that grandeur really belongs only to Hashem. The Medrash HaTov says that in man grandeur, arrogance is a contemptible trait, because man's power is limited. But by Hashem, grandeur is becoming, because all forces owe their existence to him, while he is dependent on nothing. And the Radak explains that the world will be firm and not falter, due to the fact, as we have learned, that there will be no more wars. Nochem kisacha me'olam ata. Your throne was established from old eternal are you. And the Sforno explains that it's not a new phenomenon that will take place at the time of Mashiach. It is me'oz, it's from old, u'me'olam ata, which the Radak tells us means that even before creation of the world. Nasun aharas Hashem, nasun aharas kolom, yisun aharas dachyom. Like rivers they raise, O Hashem, like rivers they raise their voices. Like rivers they shall raise their destructiveness. And the Sforno learns that the repetition of this phrase represents the destruction of the first and second Batei Mikdashos. And the Radak says that this is describing the Melchemes Gog u'Magog, and the other kings who come to do battle with Yerushalayim. They will make a lot of noise like raging rivers to frighten Klal Yisrael as they try to destroy them. Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adirim Mishbrayam Adir Bamarim Hashem, more than the roars of the many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, you are mighty on high, Hashem. Rashi to this David explained that you are mightier than the roars of the waters or the waves of the sea. You are stronger than all of them. Edusecha nemnu ma'od levezchan avakodesh Hashem l'arach yamim. Your testimonies about your house, the sacred dwelling, are exceedingly trustworthy. O Hashem, may it be for lengthy days. And the Mefarshim explained that the testimonies of Hashem refer to the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be l'arach yamim forever. We then, in Nusach Ashkenaz, say B'mem Adlikin, which is a minik to say on Friday night. It's a parak that discusses the halachos that provide light in the home during Shabbos. It also mentions the requirement of making an Erev and giving Meiser. And these three mitzvos enhance the feeling of peace within the home. Light makes the Suda more festive and prevents accidents. An Erev improves relationships with neighbors, and Meiser provides for others. Some recite this parak after Ma'ariv in view of its subject matter, which deals with the laws of Shabbos. The Avudraham says that really one should say it as we do before Ma'ariv, so that in case one's lamp or his Erev or a Meiser is not in order, he can still rush home and make the proper arrangements, assuming Shabbos has not yet begun. We add a brisa that then tells us to check our pockets before Shabbos, since the last Mishnah discussed one's actions in the final minutes before Shabbos, and therefore we listed this too. And the Avudraham explains that we then add the Gemara, which discusses peace, which again relates to that last Mishnah, which discusses the rabbinic enactments which increase peace at home, in order to then follow with the Kaddish Derabbanan. Those who daven Nusach Svar, however, say at this point Kigavna. And this comes from the Zohar and is recited at this moment before the Ma'ariv of Shabbos, because it describes the intensification of the holiness that takes place in the upper and lower realms with the advent of Shabbos. While the mystical and esoteric language is beyond the comprehension of those that don't know Kabbalah, the gist of what is said is like this. In the spiritual realm above, Hashem's oneness is clearly perceived. However, on earth, our material existence makes it infinitely difficult to attain this level of understanding. This climactic spiritual awareness on earth is expressed by the concept of kingship, which refers to Hashem's total knowledge and control of all events. The goal of creation is for man to achieve a recognition of Hashem's dominion that is parallel to the recognition of it in heaven. The holiness of the Shabbos recalls Hashem as the creator and king and brings the Jew an additional soul, better enabling him to recognize Hashem's holiness and dominion. And then the last paragraph that they say starts with the word velomar, basically was added because Baruch Hu is not allowed to be said without a minion. However, it and its response may be recited if it's part of a general narration or study. And therefore, in the absence of a minyan, if one is davening b'yichidus, one can recite this paragraph, this passage from the Zohar, which describes the meaning and intent of these communal verses, and thus, in effect, he's able to recite them. To conclude with the story or the email and the homework, the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya tells us, Ki komar Hashem ram v'nisa shochinad v'kadosh shemo v'zdakei shval ruach. Hashem is exalted and most high, and he dwells forever, and his name is holy. Yet he resides specifically among the lowly and downtrodden. It similarly says in Tehillim, Karav Hashem l'nishmerei lev, that Hashem is especially close to the brokenhearted. And there are many people who feel down and despondent, who have been victimized and taken advantage of, and they have no one to turn to for help. And the Zohar in Parshas Yisro tells us that the tefillah prayed, davened by such people, has enormous power. As the Torah tells us that the tefillos recited by oppressed victims, v'shamati kichanun ani, Hashem hears such tefillos because he is kind and merciful. And the heavens are open to accept their tefillos. And if they are capable of forgiving those who wrong them, then their power of the tefillos is even greater. And he brings a story that during the Six-Day War, the students in the Mir Yeshiva, they sought shelter from the air raids in the basement cafeteria. And after the war, it was discovered that three enormous bombs had landed on the roof of the building but never exploded. It was a true miracle. When the yeshiva of Chaim Shmulevitz found out what had happened, he told the students of the yeshiva, this miracle did not occur in your merit. Rather, it was performed for the merit of the aguna who lived next door to the yeshiva and used the yeshiva's cafeteria for shelter too. Her husband had abandoned her many years earlier without giving a get, leaving her to raise five young children all by herself. She was alone with no one to help her. And the Reshiva said that at one point during the war, he overheard this broken-hearted woman talking to Hashem saying, "Master of the world, I have every right to complain about what my husband did to me, and he should be held accountable for every ounce of torment he put me through. But I am prepared to forgive him for hurting me, so that you will forgive all our sins and allow us to remain safe and survive this war." These words, which were spoken from the depths of a broken, despondent heart, are what saved our yeshiva. Sometimes people go through difficult times and have complaints against Hashem, but if they muster the strength to accept it all and channel those emotions towards a heartfelt tefillah, they can bring the salvation they desperately need. And we once brought this next story of the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Sar Yisrael in Petach Tikva, Rav Yaakov Neiman, who had lost both of his parents when he was aged 14 and was sent to yeshiva. He was all alone without any relatives and he didn't know anyone. He loved to learn and he was able to divert his attention away from that feeling of loneliness. However, one day a week, all the other students would get packages from their parents with food and clothing and letters, but he, of course, didn't receive any packages. And this caused him great sorrow. And one time, rather than feeling sorry for himself, he turned to Hashem and said, "Hashem, you're the Avi Yisomim, the father of orphans. You're my father. I can forgive the fact that I don't receive packages, but please, instead of packages, send me help with my learning, a package that I can be successful in Torah." And he later recalled that Hashem answered his tefillos right away. From that point on, he was able to bring a certain level of learning to an entire differently level than before. And when he went on to spread Torah, then throughout the entire world. So sometimes we all have these moments of pain. We all have these moments when we feel low and downtrodden. But if we take those moments to forgive and accept, and pour out our hearts to Hashem with a sincere tefillah, the Yeshua will then come. And the homework obviously is coming Matzah Shabbos, as we greet the Shabbos and accept the Shabbos, to think a little about what Ms. Mashir, what Hashem Moloch, what we're doing with Bamei Madlikin, and for those at Seki Gavna, what we're doing at this point in the Tefillah. And again, we should be Zocha to what the Ms. Mashir and Hashem Moloch are talking about, and be able to see the Mashiach and see these times before the upcoming Tisha B'Av.